Serve the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing. That's what I was supposed to say at the beginning. So that's what we did. Right, okay. So our series is Visions and Aspirations, and the subject today is Serving God. And this is the verse that that Ben chose for that, and it's very appropriate. So it's Mark 16, verse 15. He said to them, "Go into the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Thank you, Lord, for your word. So, how can we be like the disciples? How can we preach the word and know that God is working with us? In John 10, verse 27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." So, how can we make sure that we're serving God? And how can we know, make sure that we know his will? Good question. And I was, when Ben asked me to speak on this, I was like, oh, and obviously I prayed about it. And I thought, right, okay, serving God. What comes to mind when we first think of serving God is like serving people and serving each other. But I Googled every verse in the Bible that talks about serving God. And I looked through and I thought, I want to just really study them. So I actually wrote them all out in colored pens. And you've got some of them. Some of you have given them out. And I really spent a long time. I was saying to Ben, I looked at the clock and all of a sudden I've been sitting there for hours and hours and I really enjoyed it. It was really good. It was really getting into God's word and really thinking about what he wanted to say. So I hope I can explain that to you, because the first thing I thought was, how can we serve God unless we've got a relationship with him? You know, we can do what we think is serving God, but we need to really have a relationship with him. And it sounds really simple and it sounds like, well, yeah, we all know that, but have we got a relationship with him? And then I thought, what is that? And I thought our actual existence, our life, who we are as people should actually serve God, because if he's in us, then we should be doing his will and people should see him in us. So the fact that they can see him in us is in a way us serving him, because we are showing people God. And that's not by our own efforts, by the way. That's the Holy Spirit. And so Jo, when she spoke last week, touched on the importance of our relationship with God. It's one of the things she mentioned. And so basically, it sounds simple, but we need to talk to him. So it's easy to think, oh, yeah, we talk to God. But really talk to him. And I was thinking about when you have a relationship with somebody and you talk to them, you can have like a passing relationship where you say, hello, how are you? Yeah. Or you can have a really deep relationship. And it's like, I was thinking of my own family and the different relationship I've got with each of my children. And my youngest one, I don't really have deep conversation with because he's got a lot of problems. And basically that's what you desire as a parent. You really want your children to open up to you. You want them to talk to you and tell you their fears and everything. And you want to be able to say the same to them. And basically, not just our children, our family and our friends. If we're honest, we don't really want to just say, how are you? And yeah, I'm fine. We want to say, well, actually, I'm feeling really down, or the opposite. Actually, I'm feeling really happy. And you want to really share your heart with people. And I did that, and I wasn't going to say this, but on the way to church this morning, I was praying about this morning, And oh my goodness, did God speak through me? I was just driving along and thanking God for the absolutely beautiful world that he's put us in. Amazing. Just if you really look, the trees, the sky, everything is so beautiful. And not just on a beautiful day like this, on a grey, dark day, it's beautiful as well. And I just started thanking God. And I'm not a singer by any means, but I started singing worship to God. And it was really amazing. I felt so close to him. And that's what he desires. He wants us to have that relationship where we open up to him, where we tell him everything, but also where we thank him for what he's given us. And he's given us loads. Whatever situation we're in, he's given us lots. And I thought maybe I'll go around and ask you all to name two things that you're grateful for. But I might do that in a minute. So start thinking about it. Because when I thought, and also a non-Christian friend is having counselling, and she said, the counsellor said to her, name two of your greatest achievements. And I suddenly felt, oh, what are my greatest achievements? I haven't achieved a lot. And I felt a bit like, oh, that's really nice. What have I achieved? I haven't achieved anything massive. And then when I was driving, and I kind of brought me down a little bit. And when I was driving along and talking to God this morning, I thought, this is my biggest achievement. This is my biggest achievement. I've got a relationship with God. Not everybody's got that. And it makes me cry thinking about it, because we're so blessed. We're so blessed. And we need to make sure people know that, how he makes us feel, because everybody needs to have that relationship. And even people who know him need to have that relationship. We need to really think about how to have it. And it's not complicated, believe me, or I wouldn't be able to do it. So we feel privileged. When my kids talk to me, when my friends really open up to me, yeah, I feel privileged because they've shared with me and they've trusted me. And our God feels that way as well. He wants to, you're not moaning at him. He wants to know your deepest thoughts. He wants to know your heart. And not in a stifled, you know, and that, nothing wrong with that, with saying prayers from a book, but he wants you to communicate with him in a relaxed way. Our loving, amazing Father, and he really is. But we need to listen to him as well. And it's not always easy, is it? And people say, oh, I don't hear God's voice. You don't always hear God's voice. But he answers in different ways. Sometimes it is his voice. Sometimes I pray and I hear a voice and I just think, that's God. I know that's God. And how do you know when it's God speaking to you? Oops, because God doesn't make you feel anxious, doesn't make you feel depressed, doesn't bring you down. It's like Joe said this many times, and I can never remember how you put it, but you put it beautifully. And it's basically God, if you feel peace, then that's God. Even when he rebukes you, and he does rebuke you through his word and through other ways, and I've got some examples to read out about that, that you don't feel condemned, you feel loved and lifted up. Visions. Some people have visions and pictures. I haven't had visions, but some people do. I know you have, Joe, haven't you? And he guides us. His word, the Bible, it's amazing. And sometimes he gives us words and we don't think it's him, and we haven't got the confidence to believe that he would really talk to us. And sometimes he talks to you in such a simple way that you think, is that God? And so you don't share it. And I've shared this with some of you before, so forgive me if I have, but years ago I was in a big church I belonged to, like hundreds of people, and that was in a school hall. And I was at the front and I was sitting there praying, and I felt God say to me, tell your friend Julie to come into my house. And I thought, what? For a start, this isn't his house, it's a school hall. But of course it was his house, wasn't it? Because we were there. And if we're together worshipping him, we are in his home, his house. And he said, tell Julie to come into my house. And I just sat there and I was like, I can't say that to her. That's stupid. That's not God, that's me. And I just thought, that's definitely not God, that's me. That's just me. But then a while later, it was like, I think it was about a week later, I saw her and I said to her, I've got to tell you what God told me to tell you. And it's probably nothing to do with God. It's probably just me. he told you to come into his house last Sunday. And she said, I was outside crying. I was in a really bad way. And she said, and I couldn't come into the building. And it makes me feel shivery now, and makes me sad that I didn't tell her that. But it also, wow, how does that confirm that God is real? And that we, and every now and again, I think we all need that. We all know God's real. We know he loves us. We have this faith, what brings us here every week. But to actually have confirmation that those simple words were directly from God to me to give to somebody. It was like, wow. So, and I learned from it that however stupid it sounds and however foolish it may make me look, I'm going to share what I feel God's saying, unless it's condemning somebody, because he wouldn't do that. But if it's uplifting and if it's good, then I'm going to share it. And and she, you know, she had other people come alongside her. So God, I wasn't obedient, but he used other people. So it's okay. He understands. And he knows we're all learning and growing. And I had a neighbor years ago who was in an abusive relationship with her husband. And she knew I was a Christian, but I was a very young Christian. And I didn't, when I was quite young, and Sam and Anna were quite young, and I didn't share enough with her because I was nervous and for whatever reasons. But she moved and then contacted me and said she met a lovely group of Christians and she became a Christian. Praise God. But there's obviously that kind of in me thinking, oh, I should have told her more. I should have preached to her more. But, you know, we learn from it. We're all growing. We're all, like my Bible, we're all students. And God doesn't condemn us. He says, don't worry, I'll use someone else. And you'll know better next time. So he does rebuke us. And he tells us plainly, we know when we've made mistakes, but he never condemns us. He never, ever gives us anxiety. If you're feeling anxiety with the word you get, then it's not God. I've learned that a lot. I felt anxious. I've got to do this. I've got something I've got to achieve or that God wants me to do. If it's making you feel like that, it's not God. Because all the things that God's really wanted me to do, it's happened really easily. Even doing this, I was talking to Ben about it before. Never ever would have planned to be up the front speaking to people. I never ever would have put myself forward for it. But I've got peace about it. Praise God. Love, joy, peace, encouragement, that's God. So, how do we know his word? The Bible, his word. Of course, it's an important part of our relationship. But why do we sometimes find it so hard to read it? And if we're all honest, you know, we could all say, oh yeah, I read the Bible all the time. And probably a lot of you do and don't find it difficult. But I have found it really difficult over the years. And I've been a Christian since I was 15. And it was only a couple of years ago that I read the Bible from cover to cover. And that wasn't me, that was God. And the reasons I didn't get into the Bible properly before, I didn't have time. I've got time to read the Bible. I'm too busy. It's boring. Does anyone admit to thinking that? I thought that many times. It's boring. I don't understand it. That's probably why it was boring. I'd read it and think, I don't know what they're talking about and it's really boring, so I'm going to have to stop. Or I'd just flick it open and think, oh, God, show me this bit to read. I'm going to read this bit. And it quite often did speak to me. But I had a real, from God, it was definitely from God, an urgency to read it from cover to cover in one go. And so I said, I don't think I can do this, God, so please let me do it. And I think what started was I had a desire to read it from cover to cover. So when I prayed that God would help me to read it, I had a desire. I wanted to read it from cover to cover, but I'd failed so many times, I couldn't do it. So I just gave it to God. And I realized that I had to set a time every day to read the Bible, whether I wanted to or not. I'd say, right, okay, I've got this time and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to read it from beginning. And I had to have discipline. I had to stick to it. And that's not easy, because it's easy to be disciplined about things you want to do And although I wanted to read it, as soon as you sit down, you think, oh, you know, oh, I must do that job. but when you discipline yourself to do something regularly, it forms a habit, and then it becomes enjoyment. And believe me, I read quite a lot. I love reading, but I found it hard. And once I got into that, made myself do it, once I made myself set that time and get into that habit, I wanted to do it. God took over and I enjoyed it. And I honestly can say it was like, it's like reading an exciting novel. It was exciting. I found the bits in the Bible exciting that I'd never been able to read before. And it was like God started bringing, oh, wow, this is so interesting. You know, this king and this, you know, it's amazing. And I really wanted to read the next bit. And I was looking forward to reading the next bit. And that was God. God can change our thinking. God can give us desires to do things that he knows will do us good. But part of it is we have got to bend our will to him. We've got to say, okay, and he will give us the rest, the tools to do it. And it sounds very simple. When I started writing this, I thought, oh, praying and reading the Bible, everybody knows to do that. But when I started really sitting there, and hours went by while I was praying about it and thinking about it, no, it's not that simple. It's sometimes I think we have to be reminded that the simple are sometimes difficult, but we should make an effort to do them. And also pray the whole time. And there's a Bible reading I'd like somebody to read who's got number one.
Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money.
And who's got number two? Deuteronomy 13, verse 4.
Deuteronomy 13, verse 4. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and hold fast to him.
And I think, so God does guide us through his word. And he's spoken to me many a time through things like the serving money and him. And we need to serve him first before anything else. And we need to ask him to speak to us through his word, and he really will. And it is disciplining us and it is guiding us, but in the most loving way that he really could, because his words amaze him. So we need a relationship with him by communicating with him, by praying and reading his word. But you know what? And I think most of you know this, but it doesn't hurt to remind ourselves. When we ask him to forgive us, he's with us. And when we repent and give our lives to him, he's with us by the Holy Spirit, which he left with us. So we need to respect and love ourselves as well, because we are made in his image. Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So we have to accept that God loves us and he wants a relationship with us. So we need to respect and love ourselves, really, in order to love him, and to respect the fact that if he's in us, then how can we go wrong? If he's in us, how can we put ourselves down and say, I can't do that, I'm not good enough? Because then we're disrespecting God. Our God, when we asked him into our lives, came in us by the Holy Spirit. He's with us. We're made in his likeness. We've got to really love ourselves and respect ourselves and love that in us. And this is all preparation for us serving him. Word for today was quite apt, I thought. And I thought it was today's, but it's actually tomorrow's. But I just read it thinking it was today's. Set your mind. Colossians 3, verse 2. Set in your mind is, and this is not from Colossians, this is what they're saying about it. Set in your mind is similar to setting a thermostat. It determines the climate you live in. So set your mind on God's word. Instead of trying to stop thinking wrong thoughts, which immediately brings to mind the very thoughts you're supposed to be stopped thinking about, fill your mind with God's word. Jesus told his disciples that the Holy Spirit would remind them of what he had taught them. And it says, see John 14:26. So when you file the scriptures in your memory bank, God's spirit will pull these files when you need them. Picture an amateur pilot navigating through the first storm. He can't see any landmarks around which to fly because they're locked in a fog. But then a voice comes from the controller in the tower saying, just listen to me and I'll guide you. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. John 16:33. Paul writes, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. For example, what should you do when the economy is bad? Recognize that neither the London Stock Exchange nor the High Street decide your security. God does. What should you do when someone criticizes you? Take what's good and let no one but God determine your worth. By keeping your mind on God's word, you're at peace in any situation. Take what's good and let no one but God determine your worth. That's really important. So, it's just making sure that we accept that God loves us and that he's in us and that he can't use us until we realize that. Okay. So once we accept that God is with us and once we have that relationship with him, then we can serve him and he will guide us and be with us and send us out to serve others. But how? So how can we serve others? By recognizing our gifts, which we've talked about as a church and we're going to talk more about as well. We can serve him by serving others in whatever way he's guided us and gifted us to do, by sharing the gospel and by loving and forgiving and staying close to him so that others can see him in us and they desire that relationship that we have with him. They can see our peace and so they see him. And so it's recognizing those gifts that we have. So we really need to pray that God will guide us and so that we can actually find out what they are. And we've got another reading. Whoever's got number 5, 1 Samuel 12:24.
Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you.
Amen. So when we are doing God's will, when we're serving others and we're using our gifts and how he's blessed us, then he works through us. And we feel that need because we feel God in us. When we're serving others, we get that joy and that peace. It's like when you feel compelled to pray for somebody or you feel compassion for somebody that you wouldn't normally. And it's not you being a nicer, well, it is you being a nicer person, but it's like God working through you. And it's like as you do those things and as you're obedient and as you're serving him and you know you're doing what God wants you to do and what he's kind of guided you to do. And once you've identified your gifts and you're actually using them, you do feel that connection with God. And that's what it is, that peace and that good feeling you feel is because you're connecting with with God in you. The Holy Spirit is working in you. And you know you're doing his will. But we do need to really pray for guidance about our gifting and what God wants us to do. And I think it's easy to get carried away, isn't it? Enjoying the people-pleasing, kind of thinking, you know, it feels good when people say, oh, you're doing an amazing job. And you're making, you know, you're making yourself, you're looking good, and it's easy to kind of get carried away on that feeling. And there's nothing wrong with that. As long as we've really asked God first, if that's what he's, where he wants us to be and what he wants us to do. Because I think it's from experience, it's easy to say, you know, when I was a young Christian, I just said yes to everything. And I found I was running around like a headless chicken, doing everything. And I wasn't really doing anything really well. Because I was enjoying saying yes to everybody and everyone saying, oh, well done. And then over time, you realize that actually you do need to really be careful to be asking, is this what you want me to do, God? Is this where you want me to be? And I really believe that he will show you and guide you to the right place. And it's probably completely not where you imagined God would use you, like me standing up here or what you would even choose to do. But if it's God, then you get that peace. You get a real peace about it. And so it's okay when someone asks you to say, to do something, even if it's something really good, to say, like, I'll pray about that first and I'll come back to you. Because we should first be communicating and asking God what he wants us to do before we just say yes to everything. And to really know that we're in the right place and that we're not ignoring skills and gifts that he's given us, that we just don't think, because of our own experience in life and our own emotions and how we've been brought up and all this kind of thing, that we're not kind of turning away things that God really wants us to do because we feel inadequate. Because if God's in us, like I was saying earlier, then that's a bit of an insult to him, because we can do anything. God is in us. We can do anything that he wants us to do. And quite often it would be the things we never imagined or chose. And in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, it says, now, we read that earlier, didn't we? Each of us has received a gift to use it and to serve one another as God's stewards of God's varied grace. And Joe talked about the fivefold ministry needed for the church to be effective: apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. And yeah, and it might not be any of those. It might be something completely different, but God will use us. And if, like I said, if you think none of these are for you, then God will show you in whatever way. Like when I didn't pass on the word to somebody, he will use someone else, but he'll show you as well. And like my little paintings, I'm not an artist by any means, but I enjoy it. I relax by splashing a bit of paint on paper and mucking about with colours, and I really like it. And then Samuel, when he was in rehab, sent me a calligraphy set that somebody had given to him. And I thought, oh, I have a go at this. And I'm by no means good, because I'm not very good at reading instructions and following instructions. I just tend to think I'll just slap it on and see what happens. But but as I was doing it, and I was praying as I was doing it, because it was so peaceful and lovely, and God told me to write his word on with the calligraphy pen. So I started looking into God's word and praying about what he wanted me to write. So I was reading his word. And then I started to think, oh, what can I do with these? And my, you know, human vain side came, oh, perhaps I could sell these or something. But no, they're definitely not sellable. But God told me to give them to people as gifts. And I've given them to Christian friends and to non-Christian friends with Bible verses that I've prayed about what is for them. So God's guided me what to write for them. And I have had back that it has blessed people. So God will use you in ways that you would never think. And I would never have thought, oh, yeah, I know, I'll write some verses and give them to people. But it just happened. The process happened because I connected and asked God. And I never would have imagined being up here and talking. And I never would have imagined being a church leader. And I was asked to do it a few times. And I said no quite a few times. And then I realized that it was the right time and God wanted me to do it, and God actually gave me the time. And so God's, you know, through all our insecurities and unworthiness, which I quite often feel, Our loving Father is with us, and he just is a reassuring, amazing, loving Father. And as I stand up here, I feel him with me. And whenever I'm doing something that I, you know, I wouldn't plan to do or I'm nervous about, God is with me. And that reassuring fatherly presence is just amazing. And yeah, it takes your fear away and your insecurities away. And before Sam went to, Sam's in the Philippines, my oldest son now. And before he went, I told him I was talking on serving God. And I said, oh, because it's before I'd sat down and really prayed about it. And I said, I don't know, what am I going to say? And he said, have faith and God will work through you. And I'm like, wow, that is so like simple. And we think, oh yeah, we know that, have faith and God works through you. But it's so powerful because faith, having faith, have faith, believe, you know, we can't see God standing there, but we through faith know he is here. And because we have faith and we trust him, he works through us. How amazing is that? I still am blown away by it. Why would he want to work through me? But he does, he works through us and in amazing ways. And it can be so something really simple, like me telling that woman, that friend of mine, come into God's house. You know, it can be something so simple. It hasn't got to be complicated. It can be the most simple thing that you just know you need to share. And you don't know the impact your words and your actions, even a smile to somebody. Even when we were out walking the dog, there were some disabled people and we took the dog up to them. You do not know your small actions, what profound effect that can have on people, because God is in us and he's working through us. And he will give you compassion where you wouldn't have had it. And so God will work for us. Colossians number 6, if anybody's got it. Colossians 3, 23 to 24.
Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord, and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ.
And number 7, Matthew 23, verse 11.
The greatest among you shall be your servant.
Amen. And I know I've got more readings that are not numbered around, but we'll see how time goes, whether we get time for them at the end, because I'm aware that we don't want to get overrun. But to sum up, in honour of Ben, Ben's like, he said, that's one thing we must do, sum up, bless him. And yeah, it's a learning process and it is important. Serving God. What's serving God? Getting to know him, having a relationship with him, really getting to know him, really listening as well as talking to him, treating him like he wants us to treat him, like our loving Father, who is there to listen to us and to talk to us anytime about anything. Praying, that's what it is, talking to him. We're praying all the time. I pray about everything. Pray constantly, reading his word. And if you're struggling with it, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Pray about it. Ask him to show you how you can make time, how you can get that joy and understanding and realness out of his word. And finding your gifts through praying about it, through being open and available when God really speaks to you and when you know it's God giving you, guiding you on a gift, and to serve others. And as we're doing those, as we're, you know, starting to use those gifts, praying the whole time that God will use them to serve others. And when we serve others, then we're serving God. And yeah, it's so simple, isn't it? But it's so powerful.